Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Middays with Susie Larson.
It's only just a matter of.
Thanks so much for listening to this bonus podcast. I'm Susie Larson. This is Middays. Having a great conversation with Dave Willis on the live show, so we held him over for some bonus content. Title of his book, Raising Boys Who Respect Girls, Upending Locker Room Mentality, Blind Spots, and Unintended Sexism. Dave, this is such an important, timely message. Thanks for giving us some extra time today.
Well, thank you for having me, Susie. It's a privilege.
Looking forward to this. So in the book, you identify seven areas where modern men often miss the mark. And I'd like to just walk through each one where you could maybe unpack a little bit more and then cast a vision for a better way. But here's one. We prioritize career and or hobbies ahead of family. That's a common way that men miss the mark. So say more.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that there's something inherent in most men where we like to do things where we can see measurable results. You know, we want to know if we're winning. I think it's part of why guys are drawn to sports is because the rules are so clear and it's so easy to know how many points your team has, what it takes to win. And sometimes in life, the things that matter most, like marriage and family and home, they don't have nearly as clear a scoreboard. And so because a guy can't measure his progress, so to speak, at home, I think he's often drawn to looking for counterfeit ways to meet that need to know that he's winning. And he'll do it through escaping into a career where he can measure it by dollars, or escaping into hobbies where he can, you know, measure it in other ways through his escapes. But in the end, when we're chasing after those other things to meet our soul's longing for our identity, instead of finding it in Jesus and then living it out primarily in our home and family as the most important calling in our life, then really we're missing the mark.
You know, it really goes back to the love and respect conversation, because it's a vicious cycle. If men are doing that, we as wives are getting down, or then we start to speak out of that place in our heart that's broken and wounded, and it becomes this vicious cycle. So say a word, maybe just encouragement to wives who are in that place right now. I know it sometimes feels unjust to be bringing honor and respect before you feel respected as women, but it is the call for us, and it does make a difference. So give us a piece of advice, if you would.
Yeah, I think that the merit, you have such power in your words, ladies. Like, you have such power to bring out the best in your husband, or to just kind of make him feel chopped down and worthless. And I know that it goes against every fiber of human nature to give respect to someone when they're not acting respectable. But when you choose to do that, when you choose to affirm the good in him, when you find something to praise and encourage in him, even if you have to look really, really hard, it could be that very crack, that very seam where the Holy Spirit can come in and really do a work inside of him. And so I would challenge you to do that. I would challenge the guys too as well, that your wife needs love and adoration from you every bit as much as you need respect. And so give her love and adoration, especially in the moments when she's not acting lovable. I mean, that's what love is. You know, I talk a lot about that in my previous book. It's called The Seven Laws of Love, but a person usually needs love the most when they deserve it the least. Mm-hmm. And that's when Jesus gave his best to us when we were at our worst. He died for us while we were still sinners, the Bible says. And when we will love each other and show respect to each other, especially in marriage, in those moments when our spouse is not acting the way that we want him to act, in that moment, it really is a beautiful act of selfless love. Yeah. Because we're honoring God and trusting God, really, when we do that. We're saying, Lord, my spouse is, they're not acting the way I want them to act, but I love them and I love you, and I'm gonna give my best to them as an act of trust in you and love for my spouse, and I'm gonna just believe that you're gonna do something good with that offering. And he always does.
Does. You know, every time my husband's done that, where he's made his gesture towards me when I deserved it the least, it increases my capacity to believe God's love, because it's so tangible, you know? And what a powerful, powerful thing. So we're looking at seven areas where modern men often miss the mark, not to shame men, but to cast a new vision, to just really create another picture of what is possible. So that first one, prioritizing career or hobbies ahead of family. Second is value our pleasure ahead of purpose. Say more.
Yeah, I think this goes back to that kind of a refrain in the book of don't trade temporary pleasure for permanent regret. That I think that we as men, we sometimes let our appetites get the best of us. You know, and I referenced in the live show that Esau trading his whole birthright just for a bowl of soup because he couldn't see past his temporary hunger. And whether that hunger is a sexual hunger or a, you know, physical hunger for food or whatever it might be, when we are willing to trade our integrity on any level just to meet a temporary physical present need, then we're really losing sight of all God has for us in the future. And we need to keep our eyes on eternity as followers of Christ and on the legacy that God wants to create through us instead of just what we're feeling in that moment. It's, you know, little children have a hard time seeing past what they want in the moment, but as adults, as we grow in maturity and grow in our faith, we've got to be able to get past that temporary pleasure to see the bigger picture.
Boy, that's so good. Third, we value those who agree with us, but we write off people who don't share our opinions. Talk about the problem with that one.
Well, I don't think you have to do much more than just look on social media for a few minutes to see that we've had a hard time with that one. You know, the book of Proverbs is something that corrects me almost daily. I try to read some of the Proverbs every single day because it's just great, timeless wisdom that's more relevant now than ever. And some of the things that Proverbs says are things like, you know, a fool finds no delight in actually understanding, but only wants to air his own opinions. And it also has to say a lot about, you know, venting our anger and not listening to others, not having a desire to be teachable. But wisdom is in the learning and in the listening. And in our world, I think that we've just kind of gotten good at shutting our ears to anybody that's a little bit different in their perspective than we are. And then when we do that, we cut off relationships. We burn bridges instead of building them. When we could be a part of influencing others for good, and we trade that influence in for just shaking our fist at each other. And we've got to get better at showing respect and listening, especially to those who might think a little differently than we do.
And you really modeled that, Dave, in this book. We're talking about raising boys who respect girls, upending locker room mentality, blind spots, unintended sexism. You really did that in, you know, building a bridge, saying, women, tell me, how have you been disrespected by men and how have you been respected? You were listening. You know, you're a guy. As you say in the book, I'm a dude. So, I'm not the likely guy to write this book, but I love that. But imagine what we could do for each other if we could sit down and say, tell me what it's like to be you. What's it like to walk out your story? I mean, talk about the healing that could happen if we were able to do that.
Exactly. And how much more we would learn and how much more we would be enriched. But we miss those opportunities because we let pride get in the way.
So good. All right, here's another one. We care more about getting credit than having character.
Yeah, I do. I think that there is a, you know, a very kind of superficial leaning in all of us to just kind of want to build a name for ourselves instead of wanting to be the person God created us to be, even if no one seems to notice. But one of the truest ways that we live out our faith is to do so with integrity when God's the only one who seems to be paying attention. But in that pride, the pride part of ourselves, there's this drive to just want to make our name great and want to, you know, build a tiny little empire for ourselves instead of being active in building God's kingdom, you know, in whatever role that we're happening to be called to play in that season of our lives. And when it's all about us, when it's all about our own name, our own fame, we end up just wounding a lot of people along the way because we see them as competition instead of brothers and sisters in Christ. And we wound ourselves because we cut ourselves off from all God wants to do in us when we're essentially trying to kind of be the God of our own world. And so I just think that all of us, myself included, could stand to have a little more humility and say, Lord, whatever you want to do in me, whatever the scale, whatever the role, just help me to serve you faithfully and do it with joy and contentment and not get caught up in that rat race of trying to make my own name big.
So good. My hubby and I always say, we're not too small for big things and we're not too big for small things, because that's how Jesus lived, you know.
That's really good.
Yeah. All right, here's another one. We evaluate our own agenda above everyone else's.
Yeah, and again, I think that kind of comes down to pride. It's like when we're out driving in traffic and we're annoyed by all the other drivers because silently we kind of assume that whatever we're doing is more important than what everybody else is doing. Their agenda doesn't matter as much. And I think, you know, Jesus, who had the most important agenda ever, was never too busy. You know, he was never too busy for people that could never repay him, people who needed healing, people who needed encouragement. And as his hands and feet, as his followers, we've got to be more available. You know, we've got to allow God to interrupt our agenda because his interruptions work out better than our own plans ever do.
Amen. All right. We put ourselves ahead of our wives and set the wrong example for our sons. Very good.
Yeah. I think that, you know, I've talked, the book obviously is about, you know, raising boys, with teaching them the right lessons. But one thing I say in the book and also from the heart of the marriage ministry that my wife and I do is the most powerful lesson you could teach your sons about respecting women is if you're a husband, it's in the way that you treat your wife. Because by the way you treat your wife, you're showing your sons how they should treat women, and you're showing your daughters what they should expect from men someday. And that example that you're giving, not only with your words and the lessons you teach, but just in your actions, in the way you respect your wife and love her and show her tenderness and kindness, you're either setting your kids up with a huge head start of blessings for their future relationships or potentially setting them back with baggage in their relationships that they're going to have to overcome. So we've got to set the right example.
Remember when my boys would be driving or driving age, he would say to each of them, "You're driving now, you're under our roof, so mom should never pump a tank of gas again until you move out, but you're going to fill the tank for her every time." And I just thought those little things like that made such a big difference, you know, and the boys stepped up and they made sure the tank was always full, and I love that. All right, finally, number 7, we value networking over genuine friendships.
I'm going to use that gas tank thing. See, that's where my mind is. Like, I'm, I do that, like, you know, I tease Ashley. I'm like, if I ever die, this is where the gas tank is on the car. Like, I want you to, just in case I die, I want you to be able to know where it is.
Yes,
but
yes.
She's way smarter than me. She would figure it out. But it was just kind of the joke because I feel like she shouldn't have to. So when the boys start driving, next year that'll happen.
There you go.
I'm gonna steal, you know, steal your wisdom there.
I love it. That's great.
But then that last one, yeah, networking over future, you know, real relationships. I think that, you know, the nature of love, everything Jesus embodies about love and teaches us about love, there's a selflessness to it. It's given. It's an action. Love's not a feeling. It's this action rooted in wanting to do what's best for the other person, even when they're in no position to repay you, because that's what God's done for us and then what we're called to do for each other. And our world has kind of traded that for networking, and networking is just a transactional relationship. It's, well, I'll do something for you if you can do something of equal or greater value for me, instead of, no, I'm going to do something for you just out of love because that's what we're called to do. And when our whole life just becomes this series of networking relationships, or that mindset, even in our own families, sometimes even in marriages, people can get caught in that trap of kind of keeping score. It's like, well, I've done 2 favors for you, and so now I'm not going to do anything else until you do X, Y, and Z for me. We really, really miss out on what love is, on what relationships are, and we live life keeping score in a world where the scoreboard's not even meant to exist, and God's called us to something so much more beautiful.
Yeah, people aren't a means to an end. I love that. You're right. We need to start valuing integrity over income, character over charisma, and reality over reputation. Dave, this has been such incredible content. I look forward to having you back to talk about some of your other books. Bless you and your dear wife for all you are doing for the kingdom, and thank you for giving us your time today.
Thank you, Susie. You're a legend. Thank you for the great work you're doing and your example to all of us, and I look forward to being back.
Thank you so much. Dave Willis, friends, his book, Raising Boys Who Respect Girls. Thanks for listening to this bonus podcast from Middays with Susie Larson. This content is available thanks to the gifts of generous listeners just like you. You can become a supporter today at myfaithradio.com.